Bhagavad Gita as it is, the most confidential knowledge, chapter 9, text number 2, we're still reading. And I think we've gone over the verse enough, so we're just going to keep on reading the purport. Maybe we'll just read to the end, because, or no, we won't. So, I have a number of rounds left, so it's not going to be a long class. And the Vedanta Sutra 3.2.29 is also described in the following words: Prakashas Charakaman Yabhyasat. Devotional service is so potent that simply by engaging the activities of devotional service, one becomes enlightened without a doubt. Practical example of this can be seen in the previous life of Narada, who in that life happened to be the son of a maidservant. He had no education, nor was he born into a high family. But when his mother was engaged in serving great devotees, Narada also became engaged, and sometimes, in the absence of his mother, he would serve the great devotees himself. Narada personally says, I think we read this, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So the word dharmyam, the word dharmyam means the path of religion. Narada Muni was actually a son of a maidservant. He had no opportunity to go to school. He was simply assisting his mother. Unfortunately, his mother rendered some service to the devotees. The child Narada also got the opportunity, and simply by association, achieved the highest goal of all religion. The highest goal of all religion is devotional service, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo Ito Bhaktira Hoshaje. Religious people generally do not know that the highest perfection of religion is the attainment of devotional service. As we have already discussed in regard to the last verse of the 8th chapter, chapter 8, Vedeshu Jagneshu Tapasu Chaiva. Generally, Vedic knowledge is required for self-realization, but here, although Narada never went to the school of the spiritual master and was not educated in the Vedic principles, he acquired the highest results of Vedic study. This process is so potent that even without performing his religious process regularly, one can be raised to the highest perfection. How is this possible? This is also confirmed in Vedic literature. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who is in association with the great acharyas, even if he is not educated or has never studied the Vedas, can become familiar with all the knowledge necessary for realization. The process of devotional service is a very happy one. Sukham. Why? Devotional service consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. So one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, or can attend philosophical lectures on transcendental knowledge given by authorized acharyas. Simply by sitting, one can learn, then one can eat the remnants of the food offered to God, nice palatable dishes. In every state, devotional service is joyful. One can execute devotional service even in the most poverty-stricken condition. The Lord says, Pavitram pushpam palam dhoyam. He is ready to accept from the devotee any kind of offering, never mind what. Even a leaf, a flower, a bit of fruit, or a little water, which are all available in every part of the world, can be offered by any person, regardless of social position, and will be accepted if offered with love. There are many instances in history. Simply by tasting the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages like Sanak Kumar became great devotees. Therefore, the devotional process is very nice and can be executed in a happy mood. God accepts only the love with which things are offered to him. It is said here that this devotional service is eternally existing. It is not as the Mayavadi philosophers claim. Although they sometimes take to so-called devotional service, their idea is that as long as they are not liberated, they will continue their devotional service. But at the end, when they become liberated, they will become one with God. Such temporary time-serving devotional service is not accepted as pure devotional service. Actual devotional service continues even after liberation. When the devotee goes to the spiritual planet in the kingdom of God, he is also engaged there in serving the Supreme Lord. He does not try to become one with the Supreme Lord. As will be seen in the Bhagavad Gita, actual devotional service begins after liberation. After one is liberated, when one is situated in the Brahman position, Brahma Bhuta, one's devotional service begins. Samak Sarvesha Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. No one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by executing Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, or any other yoga independently. By these yoga methods, one may make a little progress towards Bhakti Yoga, but without coming to the stage of devotional service, one cannot understand what is the Personality of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also confirmed that when one becomes purified by executing the process of devotional service, especially by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita from realized souls, then he can understand the science of Krishna or the science of God. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yoga daha. When one's heart is cleansed of all nonsense, then one can understand what God is. Thus, the process of devotional service of Krishna consciousness is the king of all education and the king of all confidential knowledge. It's the purest form of religion. It can be executed joyfully without difficulty. Therefore, one should adopt it. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramidam Uttamam Pravakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Abhyam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, is the perfection of religion, is everlasting, is joyfully performed. You go to a university, tell the learned professors there that the process of gaining knowledge is to take food offered to Krishna, especially eaten by the remnants of devotees, mendicants especially. And you should simply keep on repeating Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's the only way that you're actually going to get knowledge. Well, you're more likely to be, you know, they call the people and would come with white coats and take you away. People's conception of knowledge is far removed from the idea of realizing our eternal identity. Even so-called religious people believe that they're not their body, they're a soul, but they think the soul is the mind. They think religion means to get off the bodily platform onto the mental one. And if you feel something, then you're really advanced. But here in Narada Muni, he got spiritual elevation just by hearing from the Bhaktivedantas, renounced people who gave up the material concept of life, the exact opposite of what modern education is all about. I don't think there's any college course based on renunciation. You don't get your PhD in renunciation. Your action learning project is to go into the forest and live on roots and twigs and berries. Build a little hut and stay there during all the seasons and chant Hare Krishna. That's the actual learning project, which is probably one of the ways of getting knowledge, but it's not a recognized knowledge. But here we're trying to appreciate Narada Muni, how he became Narada Muni, and how if we want to come to the platform of self-realization, then we have to give up hankering and lamentation as a preliminary goal. In other words, we're engaged in sadhana bhakti, but sadhana bhakti is only effective if it helps us give up hankering and lamentation. If we maintain hankering and lamenting in the material world, then sadhana bhakti will have no effect on us. And at the same time, we have to see everyone as spiritual beings and treat them accordingly. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. And then we can begin actual devotional service. If we think we're executing devotional service, but we're not improving our relationship with others, and we're not giving up hankering and lamenting for things in the material world, then our devotional service remains on the material platform. And one is not actually advancing spiritually, although one may make some improvement materially. So that's our choice. The problem with material improvement is that, especially in Kali Yuga, we may improve a little bit materially and then fall back due to material allurements. If we're not trying to get the higher taste in Krishna consciousness by the prescribed process of detachment, suitable practice, and at the same time vairagya, then there's every chance of being allured by the allurements of Kali Yuga. Of course, now that we have the coronavirus, I think probably the allurements have gone down a little bit. People can't even breathe anymore. They have to wear a mask. They can't go outside so much. What do they call that? At night when they have, you can't go out. Yeah, they call it that. Curfew, they call it in America. Under curfew. Like a child, you have to be home at night. When it gets dark, you have to be home. Otherwise, you know, what would people do if they went outside? What is the idea of curfew? The boogeyman will get you if you go outside when it gets dark. Or the virus becomes more powerful at night. Or at night the police can't see you. You may do things, strange things like get near people or something. Obviously Krishna is trying to discourage people from thinking that they're going to have a good time in the material world. That they're free. We're in the land of the free, a democracy. It's probably said demon crazy. So these allurements in the material world, sometimes we think we're free, and then we think that actually we're having a bad time. This is always cyclical. They put the squeeze on, there's a war that, because of people's sinful activities, some horrible war comes along, and everyone becomes sober, a little sober, that actually there's a problem, they should get serious. And then after the war's over, then they go back, oh, it wasn't so bad. It's not going to happen again. It's like a lot of times on the airplane, when the turbulence starts and the plane starts shaking, everyone becomes very silent and serious. You see people start praying a little bit. And then and then it's the plane stops and everyone starts going back watching the movie. And as if, you know, wow, I thought I might even die sometime. They don't know. It's not going to happen. God protected me. I'm a good person. Even the materialists know that. I was reading one story, I think it was in French or something. And it was just a short story to practice French. And two people are in the elevator, and they're talking, and suddenly the elevator starts falling. They start screaming, and God save us. And then the elevator stops on some floor. Oh, that was close, you know. I had so many things I was going to do. You know, I was thinking about, if only I can survive, then, you know, I can start this foundation. And another one says, yeah, if I can survive, I'm going to do this. And then the elevator starts falling again. They start screaming, oh, God, save us. And then the elevator stops. And they're praying. And then the door is open. They go, hey, what are you going to do tonight? I'm just going to stay at home and watch television. What are you going to do? Yeah, I think I'll stay home and watch television too. So the material world is like, the illusory energy is like that. Everything's fine until a little trouble happens and, oh God, save us. And when it goes away, oh, it's all right. Thanks a lot, God. But for spiritual life, one actually becomes more serious than that. One actually has to get free, consciously free, from attachment and aversion and try to act differently towards people. If one cannot do that, then all our spiritual progress will simply remain theoretical. Of course, one makes a little progress probably at the time of death. Oh, God, save me. Then we get that next lifetime, we forget the whole thing again. We take two steps forward and three steps back. We wonder why we're not getting anywhere. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? How many people, do we know how many people are in line?
10 from my TV and 50 at the moment.
Three on Facebook. Your Facebook? That's Facebook. Okay, good. All right, any questions? I ask a question. Yes.
So you were speaking about this incapacity, how even though we are exposed to certain difficulties, sometimes like life-threatening circumstances, still we just don't realize how serious it is and that we should act upon it when we have like a ability to do so, still some time left. So we can see in the animal kingdom also it is like that. So
yeah,
how to build up this capacity to actually become more human-like?
Hearing. It's supposed to be by hearing the right attitude or in the right source, and then practice what we hear. Other than that, the material nature will keep on beating us until we become more serious. The less serious we are, as soon as you get some knowledge, the material nature is even more encouraging to utilize it. For the general people who have no knowledge, they just get beaten, and they don't even notice it after a while. It's just normal. In fact, they feel uncomfortable unless they're getting beaten. It's like people who live in the city with all the noise, if they go to the country, they can't sleep because there's no noise. So similarly, the materialists, they become used to passionate activities. And if they're faced with the mode of goodness, when they can actually think, they become very disturbed. They like the places where there's all kinds of noise and action going on, violence and all kinds of, you know, then they feel at home and in a peaceful, calm situation, they become very disturbed. Nothing to do here. When they smell, you know, the flowers and the animals and the fresh air, they become very disturbed. They can't breathe. they can't think. They hate the smell. It's like in Burma, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada went there, his devotees, they were in part of Burma and they were cooking puris and ghee. And the people there, they complain that this horrible odor coming from this house, the odor of ghee, they couldn't stand it. They started complaining, tried to get the devotees out of the house. But they have a special preparation there. It's called nafta, where all the dead animals in the village, they put them in a pot on the top of the roof. and the sun bakes them into a liquid, the dead bodies. And then they siphon off the liquid and they put it into bottles, and on festival days that's, they put it on the rice as a special treat. They're putrid, rotten flesh of animals that would... And they think the smell is fantastic. They mean, but ghee they can't tolerate. Because they're in a different mode of nature. It's like if you offer a pig halva, the pig will... Never. Disgusting. But we know if we offer the pig a certain remnant... Maha remnant, they'll become excited. Won't be able to control. Like in India, sometimes people have to go into the field to pass stool with a stick because the pigs are so excited when they see fresh stool. Sometimes when the person's passing, the pig will knock the person over so they can get... So they can get it while it's fresh and hot. So different folks have different tastes. So we become accustomed. That's the whole problem, is we become enamored by the material energy and we're accustomed to it. So we have to get shaken, or we have to use our intelligence. One or the other. We have to take hearing, process of hearing seriously, or we'll get shaken and hopefully we'll then take it seriously. Anything else?
Just wondering, in the verse it says direct perception of the self by realization. So what kind of, I mean...
Well, when you see Krishna, then you see yourself. By the process of devotional service, we're supposed to become conscious of Krishna. And when we become conscious of Krishna, like when the sun lights up everything in the daytime, then in Krishna consciousness, then we can see ourselves and see everything else too. Otherwise, it's not possible. We can't understand our relationship because we only exist in relationship to Krishna. So when we see Krishna, then we'll understand who we are too. All right, thank you very much. Krundaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.